Nice little fake pass is caught. Touchdown. What a start. Deontay Foreman with a grab. And boy, these Titans can chew up yardage in a blink. Rivers throws. Pass caught. Hines. And in for the touchdown. And Brissett will plow forward and get in for the touchdown. And for Jacoby Brissett, his first touchdown of the season.
That was Jacoby Brissett putting the cherry on top of the sundae for the Indianapolis Colts, adding insult to injury. You got an all-time quarterback sneak. Jacoby Brissett, 34-17. The Colts win in Nashville. I'm Greg Rosenthal, and tonight on the recap, I'm excited to be joined by Sheil Kapadia, from Birds with Friends. It's a crossover week here on the Around the NFL podcast. Sheil writes for The Athletic, longtime writer with ESPN.com too. Sheil, and I'll start with this. Were you surprised that the Titans offense only scores 17 points in a primetime game here?
I was surprised, but what really stood out is that they have such small margin for error. You know, I didn't watch like the first half and think, wow, the Titans are getting shut down here. But you just look at the other aspects of their team, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second. And it's like if the offense has been so efficient, they figured out the hard part, building the efficient offense, even though it wasn't at its best tonight. But like other parts of the team tonight looked like a complete disaster. And so you end up with a 17-point loss.
Yeah, I picked the Colts in this game. Sheil's really smart. Everyone should check out his stuff. He wrote that Carson Wentz takedown piece, I would call it, earlier this week. I'm just kidding. You just wrote about the decline. And you've always got like an analytical bent. You're a really smart analytical writer. And I noticed your record this year on picking against the spread is outrageously good, to the point where I was like, is this a misprint? But you know what? You got this one wrong.
I did.
And I got it right. So if we started the season tonight, I want to know. And you're 0-1. Do you feel bad that you didn't have as much faith in Phillip Rivers as you maybe should have?
Yeah, you know, I know you do picks also. And so I really wanted to be on the winning end of this one, knowing I was coming on this podcast tonight. You know, the Colts, it feels like to me, they need to be so efficient on offense. Like they are not going to produce a ton of explosive plays. They had some tonight and they moved the ball. I mean, they moved the ball inside the Tennessee 30-yard line on their first seven possessions.
And that's so outrageous.
It was amazing. I couldn't believe it because you watch the Colts offense at times and it's just like everything's so hard. Nothing comes easy. And there were times tonight where you thought, all right, they got to convert another 4th-and-1. They got to convert another 4th-and-1, but give them credit. I thought they schemed it up really well. There were wide open receivers, I felt like, all night long, and Rivers did a good job of getting the ball out quickly.
Yeah, I only picked them not like that had any not that any was any great insight, is because I feel good about their offense, you know, against a team that can't rush the passer, against a team that can't get off the field on third downs. If you're able to do that, then I feel like the defense can show up, do its things, and the Colts should have enough to win. You mentioned the 4th downs. They go 3 of 5 on 4th downs. There was a goal line stand. There was another turnover on downs in field goal range, which usually will come back to haunt you. But I like that Reich stayed aggressive, and they do have a big margin for error when they play good defenses. But there's like not that many good defenses. You know, there's a couple in the AFC. Unfortunately for them, they're probably going to have to go through the Steelers or the Ravens at some point, and I think that's going to be a problem. But Rivers didn't see a lot of open receivers, doesn't throw it deep. We know he can't sneak even 1 yard. He definitely can't like make plays, but he can throw in rhythm to these guys. And what I've been wanting to watch out of this team all year was just to find some juice. And I'm always thinking, why don't they give Nyheim Hines more run? Yeah. Because all the plays with Nyheim Hines are good. And like the plays with Jonathan Taylor are rarely good. And Taylor made a couple good runs actually on 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. So maybe he can be that short yardage guy. But Himes has juice, man. He has burst and he's a great receiver. He's kind of what you want in a 2020 running back. I know you're not going to give it to him 25 times a game, but maybe 15, and that he's kind of the lead dog there. So you get a little juice from him, and then you get juice from Michael Pittman going over 100 yards, who is really good yards after catch. That's who you need with Phillip Rivers, is guys that are going to make opposing defenses miss. And so if I'm a Colts fan, More of that, please. Those two guys can give this offense a chance.
Absolutely. You know, I thought the supporting cast has not been great all year. You kind of watch them and you're like, all right, who's like keeping the Titans up at night when they're game planning for this game on the Colts offense? You know, Jordan Wilkins, John, like these guys, they have a bunch of okay guys, but I agree with you. They needed someone with some juice, and Hines has been doing it for a few weeks with the cartwheels in the end zone, the other week. And even today, like that touchdown he had, it looked to me like the Titans had a defensive lineman in the backfield, but Hines like made a miss really quickly and then got into the end zone. I mean, he was incredible. 70 yards rushing, 45 receiving yards. And so I think he's definitely somebody who needs to get the ball for them a lot more. There's no doubt about it. He passes the eye test.
You know, we tape this podcast on video, you know, even though it's for audio. And so I can't, you know, speaking of the eye test, I can't help but, you know, think seeing your, you know, tastefully shaved dome that you have, Sheil, and think of the other, you know, beautifully bald man that I usually doing Thursday nights with, Chris Wessling. He has loved Nyheim Hines since day one his rookie year. Always thought that he deserved more touches. I think they've missed Marlon Mack quite a bit this year, that he's actually a really good running back and has made that line look good, because they haven't been like a great offensive line, at least in short yardage. They protect Rivers pretty well, but they do have a great defensive line. And that was the other thing I definitely wanted to hit on for the Colts. And they're going to play the Titans again in 2 weeks. It's a really strange stretch of the schedule here where they both play really good teams next week. The Colts have the Packers. And the Titans have the Ravens in Baltimore, and then they're playing each other again. So it's just kind of a crazy 3 weeks where if one of these teams can sweep the other, that's huge. And I give the Colts a decent chance to sweep the Titans because the next one will be on turf. And I think it's a big mismatch when the Titans have the ball and they're just so used to the play action passing game and Tannehill getting back there. And even though it didn't show up with a ton of sacks, man, they get quick pressure. They get DeForest Buckner and Autry, and Grover Stewart had a big game in Houston. They just got a lot of guys. I think if people haven't watched the Colts a lot this year, to me that stands out for them. And to me, that's a mismatch right now against a Titans team who's pretty banged up front.
Yeah, I think Grover Stewart would definitely be the starting nose tackle on like the football hipster or like the football tape grinder team. I mean, Noah, they love a Grover Stewart. And he showed up with that huge hit today down near the goal line. And you're right. I mean, I'm kind of with you. You know, I've heard you talk about this before. And I'm the same way. I feel like there's a few great defenses that you have to really worry about. And then like, defenses 5 through 20. It just sort of depends on the matchup. Do they create some turnovers here? And the Colts, you know, they're sort of making their case to be among those five defenses that really matter. And they definitely played well, tonight. And it seems like with Tannehill, you know, there were a couple plays, it feels like, where this game could have swung early on. That AJ Brown had that catch down the left sideline. You felt like, all right, if he makes that catch, maybe it's a different game. And then in the second half, Jonnu Smith, I think, was wide open there on the right side, and Tannehill overthrew him. But, you know, any defense, you're going to get some of those breaks throughout the course of the game. But overall, they did a great job. I thought that Danico Autry play was like an underrated play. I think it was a 3rd-and-1, and Tannehill was getting out there on a bootleg, and he did a great job staying at home and kind of just getting enough of his ankle to sack him there, and then they got the shanked punt after that.
Yeah, it was weird. They benched the punter they brought in last week, which was Ryan Allen, Super Bowl great for the Patriots, by the way, who had a big game. I didn't even know this, but some Titans fan was all in my mentions going like, why did they bench Ryan Allen after he came in and averaged 50 a punt? It's like, I don't know, bro, but it did not work out because you mentioned it. After that sack, it was the 17-yard shank, and it's one of the reasons why you know, analytics Twitter says always go for the fourth down, of course, is because hopefully you get a defensive stop, you get great field position like the Colts did, and they scored right away. Now, I heard you say, like, football hipster, tape grinder Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you be part of – you don't consider yourself part of that because you're more like the numbers – but I feel like you might be a football hipster at least.
I don't know. I did shave. I'm clean shaven here. I have a solid shirt on. It's not flat. I have no mustache. I don't know. We'll let the listeners decide on that.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Like you're clean shaven. You're kind of square. You're into the numbers. maybe not. I did want to hit on Rivers just before We're done. He is now fifth all time in passing yards, which I don't put a lot into, but it's just kind of, I find it interesting when you pass Dan Marino on that. Do you think he's playing? Do you think he has a chance this year? I picked them to win the Super Bowl just because I decided to pick something I want to root for this year, and I didn't really believe in it. I don't believe in it now. do you think there's any scenario where Philip Rivers could be good enough to go on a run to the Super Bowl?
I don't see it. I don't see the Colts having that ceiling. And I love Frank Reich. I like this team. I picked them to win the division before the season. But I look at their offseason and, the Jonathan Taylor pick or even Michael Pittman, I felt like they needed to add a receiver or somebody. We're talking about Nyheim Hines, who's a good
player.
Pittman
looked good tonight.
Pittman looked good tonight. Yeah. But, I don't see enough there where their offense is going to be good enough and explosive enough throughout the course of an entire postseason to keep pace with a Patrick Mahomes or even a Steelers or a Ravens team. So I've got them in kind of that next tier, but I have to remind myself that week 10, not everything's figured out. And so a month from now, I feel like Rivers has probably played good games in three of the last four. They had a tough half last week against the Ravens. So maybe they can prove me wrong, but right now I would say they don't have that ceiling.
You host an Eagles blog. You're an Eagles homer, I guess. I don't even know, but you like Frank Reich. What do they look like in week 10 before they go on the run? There's a long way to go, but is he a Hall of Famer? How about that?
I think so.
I heard a nice, back and forth on Twitter tonight where Robert Mays was just going hard, doing the work of the gods, really, for showing how many top five passing attacks that Rivers has led over the year. I think he is, but it would be nice to see him win. And I think, I really think they have a chance to win this division by sweeping two. And we'll wrap up with this, which is the small margin that you kind of started with Titans. It's a tough recipe. I think Tannehill's great, and you're right. If Brown catches that pass, everyone is talking about that Tannehill throw as he's getting just absolutely hammered, and Brown goes down the field. They've completed that pass so many times. It was a play Brown would say that he would make, but not great pass pro combined with bad defense. And a team that wants to run the ball and pretty shaky special teams. It's I just have thought all year they've been a little shakier than the record indicates. If you throw away the Bills game, really, almost every week.
Yeah, their defense, I was looking at it. Philip Rivers got rid of the ball in 2.3 seconds tonight. And I feel like their pass rush and their coverage don't mix. There are times where you look at it and say they need more pass rush. But tonight, I just felt like their coverage was leaving guys open time after time after time and leaving open guys for Rivers to find. And Saffold goes down tonight. They already lost Luan, so if that's a serious injury, their offensive line isn't going to be good. I'll tell you what, I was very nervous about an hour ago just furiously Googling Trevor Daniel. I'm like, of course, that's the punter. And all I found out was what they said on the broadcast, which was that he was delivering packages for FedEx. And is this coincidence or not? Because Arthur Smith, the Titans OC, his dad is the founder of Fed. Was Trevor Daniel doing a terrible job delivering those packages? And his dad's yo, Arthur, you guys got to sign this guy, get him out of the company. I don't know what was going on there.
Ooh, that was such a good value add to the program here. Your buddy, Bo Wolf, who joined us on Tuesday's Feeling the Heat, because I didn't even think of that. That you just benched a Super Bowl winning punter, Ryan Allen, coming off a good week, just because your dad runs FedEx and there's this great story. It almost feels like they were looking for free advertising.
And they got it. They got it here on this widely listened to podcast, which is probably more important to them than even getting it during the Troy Aikman saying it, I would say, in my eyes.
It would be amazing if that costs the Titans a playoff spot. All right, the AFC South. It's fun. It's been some down years in the AFC South this year. Not a bad one. Not a bad spot at all by you, Shiel. Thank you for joining me tonight for the first time. But I've known you a long time, and it's good. People should really check out Shiel's work at The Athletic. Being serious, one of the best writers in the game. You were kind of a beat guy, and now you've moved on past plebs like that, and you're a national guy now.
I'm just glad you said I had the edge over Bo Wolf. So I
say that totally.
Well, but I'll put words in your mouth.
You had a good parting shot. Yeah, their podcast is Birds with Friends at the Athletic. All right, Colts win. We will be back on Sunday with the flagship show. We are into week 10, double digits. Thanksgiving is almost here. We are making progress. Let's get out of here.